Good morning. You are listening to The Morning Interview. I'm Catherine Rose, and joining me in the studio today is Sitka fellow Hannah Brinkman. She is a comics artist, and she's been spending the summer here working on her graphic novel. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining me this morning. So first, I have to ask, you know, we've had some writers in the studio this summer, Sitka fellows who are writers and some who are visual artists, and you've chosen to combine visual art and writing. Why did you make that decision?
I went into art and I did painting at the beginning, but when I was younger, when I was 15, I wrote a teenage novel, and it was very bad, but I still love to write, and I thought about becoming a journalist, but then I decided to do art, and I thought it wasn't a decision I had to make. But after I stopped studying painting, I went into illustration and found out that there's a whole world of comics where I can combine both things. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I started doing that.
Can I ask you a brief and unexpected question? What was your teenage novel about?
It was about six teenagers who left Hamburg, where I'm from, to go to Berlin and have a very crazy life and take a lot of drugs.
Oh, gosh. Well, I would be very interested to see that. So when you decided to start working in comics, what were some of your earlier works and pieces that you did?
I focused really early on autobiographic work, and I started telling stories about my family from the beginning, because it's a very big family and there are a lot of stories there to tell. And I did one story about my grandmother, who was born in 1920, and about her experiences in the war, and about my great-grandfather, who was diagnosed with depression very early and went to a psychologist, which was very uncommon back then. Mm-hmm. But I also did some non-fictional work about comic journalism, stories about, mm-hmm. journalistic stories in comic form.
And those were all shorter pieces.
Yeah, they were short.
But this one you're working on this summer, your first graphic novel, the longest you've worked on, is about your uncle. Can you tell us a little bit about him?
Yeah, my uncle was born in 1954, and he was basically the generation after the war, the ones who were born afterwards and who didn't want to have anything to do with the war anymore, and grew up in the 60s, and he was a pacifist, and he'd been a pacifist since he was 6 years old, basically. And mm-hmm. My grandfather was a hunter, and he would always, when my grandfather went out hunting, he would shout at him and be angry because he hated guns. And back then in Germany, we had military service that was an obligation. You had to go to the military, but you could also try to get out by being a conscientious objector. And he was a conscientious objector and said that he is a pacifist. He can't hold a gun ever, mm-hmm. and that's why he can't go to the military. And the German government basically said, "We don't believe you that you can't combine it with your conscience to hold a gun." And mm-hmm. He failed two trials. Back then, they had trials to test conscience, the conscience of those young men, that were mm-hmm. really horrible trials, actually. And he after that, he was forced to go to the military. He stayed there for 3 months, tried to get out again, and went to a military psychologist in Hamburg. And they basically said again, no, we can't see that you're depressed, even though my uncle said once that everybody saw that he was depressed. He mm-hmm. was very skinny. He didn't really talk anymore. But they said, no, you're not. And a week later, he committed suicide.
And this story obviously would be a very, difficult one to retell. But why do you think that it's, important and that it's heard now?
Well, yeah. I mean, first of all, of course, I want to tell the story for myself mm-hmm. a little bit, because I want to know for myself what happened back then, and for the family too, mm-hmm. in a way too, because we didn't really talk about it much when I was around. Mm-hmm. My grandparents were really open about it, and they published his obituary in a German newspaper, and it got picked up by all the German newspapers, and it turned out to be a very big case, and actually after that there was reform in Germany. 10 years later, those conscience trials were basically abolished. Mm-hmm. So it did make an impact, and that's probably the selfish reason I want to show that Hermann's death mm-hmm. made an impact. And the other reason is, I mean, now, and even in Germany, we are talking about getting the military back to where it was, to do that people have to go there. Mm-hmm. And for my generation, it's completely, we can't even fathom what it's like to have this kind of obligation to go, because the people who, the boys who I knew, they just basically went there, said, oh no, I have something on my back, and then they didn't have to go to the military. And I kind mm-hmm. of want to show them that that's not the norm, like that should be the norm, but it wasn't for a long time, and mm-hmm. what people had to go through. And and also I don't want the military to come back in that way, like I don't want everybody to have to go there. Mm-hmm. And yeah, also with Donald Trump and all the stuff that's going on in the world, I think it's a good to talk about war and what it entails. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this project, I'm guessing, has been quite has taken some familial research for you. Have you been interviewing, you know, your parents and people in your life to get or doing more deep research to find out more?
Yeah, I mean, I was really scared to talk to my family about it, mm-hmm. And I did talk to them, but not as much as I should have done. And I realized that actually here, that I should have done much more research. And I even was in contact with some of my uncles and aunts and realized that they are much more supportive of it than I thought. Because, So when I come back to Germany, I will definitely do more research on mm-hmm. or talk to them more about this time and get some more stories. And what I also did here is research more about the military and the military laws that basically made Hermann go, why Hermann's thing happened, the mm-hmm. military laws, why it did. And yeah.
And we talked a little bit about graphic novels earlier, and you know, this is kind of a pretty burgeoning genre of nonfiction graphic novels. And I just remember one of my favorites in high school. You said you actually read this summer, yeah. Mouse. Can you tell us a little bit about that experience of reading Mouse?
Yeah, I read it during the first 2 weeks I was here, mm-hmm. because I was kind of uninspired. And then I sat a whole Sunday and read the book. And yeah, I mean, I've never read it before, and it's quite embarrassing because it's like one of the biggest graphic novels. Mm-hmm. It really inspired me because he made the story of this horrible story of his father and the Second World War and the concentration camp. He kind of made it in a way, like, not funny, because of course it's still really sad, but there's some humor in it, and mm-hmm. that makes it easier to read, or it's even fun to read in a way. Mm-hmm. And that really inspired me. And also all the research he had obviously done, and all the little stories he found out that make a comic book more vivid, when you have like something small happening in the background, or like some small stories you couldn't basically make up, but that happened in that way. Like, and he has a lot of it, and I think that's, he has it because he's been talking to his father about it, and mm-hmm. it's actually what happened. So yeah, that inspired me to do more talking.
And that seems to be one of the great things about this genre, is that it makes difficult material a little more accessible for mm-hmm. wider audiences. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, definitely. I believe especially, I mean, political comics, they've always been done, but I think at the moment, especially in Germany right now, they're having a big comeback and everybody's really interested in them. Mm-hmm. And I think it could also be because younger people have through the internet and everything, they probably wouldn't read a massive long article about the Second World War mm-hmm. or about conscientious objectors in the 70s, because I don't know, it sounds boring. Mm-hmm. But then if it's a comic, you can read it in a few hours or in a day and still get the message and understand what's important about it. And it's kind of, yeah, and it's also a little bit lighter, especially with dark topics. It's lighter too, and easier maybe to read.
Mm-hmm. And you are now teaching a comics class on Thursday at 7 at Yaw Chapel. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about what they would get out of the that experience if they came to your workshop?
Sure, yeah. I'm teaching a workshop about how to make a one-page comic. And you don't need to have any experiences in that. You can, you're very free in how you make the comic. You don't even need to have to, don't need to be able to draw for that. And and we'll play a few comic games and memory games. And yes, it will be nice.
So that workshop is again at 7 at Yaw Chapel. And that is free and open to the public, all ages.
Yeah, all ages.
All right. I've been speaking with Sitka fellow Hannah Brinkman. She's a comics artist, and she's working on her graphic novel here this summer in Sitka. Thank you so much for joining me this morning, Hannah.
Thank you.